So last week, Reverend Edna and Pam Grout invited us to seize the day and create what we wanted for our lives in the new year of 2015. And we did this by putting ourselves in the picture, and you see the frames still in the back of the church. We took selfies. Today, I want to continue that thought by drawing your attention to how we use frames. You see, all of us use frames to make sense of our beliefs of the world. And our creative mind uses the beliefs to frame the world we perceive. Whether it be a tree, or a candle, or whatever it is, the frame gives meaning to what we put in there. And if we want to change the world that we perceive, we do that by changing the frame, the beliefs through which we see that world. What we see and how we respond is very different depending on the frame that we use and whether or not we put ourselves in the picture or not. So the inner frame of belief creates, let me say that again, the inner frame of belief creates. Now, it does this whether we do it intentionally or whether we do it unconsciously. I want to share an example of how a creative mind can intentionally frame a new world. In 1969, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in front of a million people, and he said, "I have a dream." And he went on to give that now famous "I Have a Dream" speech, in which he claimed the American dream for the disenfranchised people of this country that wear black skin. And he gave that dream not only to them, but he gave that dream to the entire country that listened. And in that speech, Dr. King said in part, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged for the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." It's been over 45 years. And while that dream is not complete, we have come a long way toward manifesting it. And today we even have a president who is a racial blend of white and black. And we have a society that recognizes the inherent equality of all races and is in the struggle to become more inclusive for all people, no matter their skin color, their sexual orientation, or who they want to marry. The dream is becoming alive today. Now, I share this in part because of tomorrow's holiday in recognition of Dr. King, and because this is an example of Dr. King using the power of his creative mind aligned with divine spirit to bring something new into the world. There is, in this thought, an inescapable spiritual law, one that governs all of our lives, a law that we often forget and we don't recognize it as operating, yet it is fundamental to our human experience. It is called by different names, the law of attraction or the law of mind action, or two of the names we use to identify this spiritual law. And in its simplest form, the law states, that which is like to itself is drawn together. that which is like to itself is drawn together. Now, Unity has believed this for over 100 years and teaches it as thoughts empowered by feelings held in mind produce after their kind. Either way you say it, the law of attraction says that we create our lives. Underneath the seeming solidity of matter lies a simple fact. Everything, absolutely everything in this world is some form of vibratory energy. Quantum physicists tell us that the solidity of matter is an illusion, that we are actually waves of energy vibrating at different rates. This is true of the non-material as well as the material forms. David Hawkins, in his book, Power versus Force, gives vibratory levels for feelings and values. And the group Mind, Abraham, gives a similar pattern of rankings for emotions that allow us to move from states of fear and unworthiness to states of hopefulness and happiness and even joy. It is important for us to become aware of this aspect of the way the universe is constructed, because vibrational energy is how spirit matches the answer to the request. And the vibration of thought and feeling that we hold is the vibration that spirit then answers us with. The simple spiritual truth is that spirit is always saying yes to us, that the universe always answers us with a yes. That which is in vibrational harmony is drawn together. If you want to listen to a public radio station, you don't turn your dial to a country and western station in Kansas City. The wavelengths don't match. Unity minister Eric Butterworth, in his book Spiritual Economics, says, "You are a living magnet drawing to yourself your good." You are a living magnet. In an often misunderstood parable, our brother Jesus taught the law of attraction. He put it into the framework of his culture and the language of his time, but it is a teaching parable of this point. And so I just want to refer to it. It comes from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and it's often called the parable of the talents. So what happens in this parable, as he told it, is that a man is leaving to go on a journey to a far country. And while he is gone, he wants his slaves in his household to invest his money and to turn him a profit while he is gone. So he calls his three slaves to them, and he believes that each of them has a different degree of ability. And so to the one with the most ability, he gives 5 talents. Now that's like 5 years worth of money. Of salary. And he gives them 5 talents to invest. And to the second one, he gives 2 talents. And to the third one, he gives 1 talent. And he says, "While I am gone, put it to work so that when I return, my profits will have increased." And he leaves. Now, 2 of these people, these slaves, listen and obey. And they go out and they invest their money. The one with the 5 talents and the one with the 2 talents invest the money, and they reap enough rewards that by the time the master comes home, they have doubled their money. But the one that received the 1 talent is full of fear. And instead of investing the money, he says, "If I lose this talent, I will be punished." And so he digs a hole in the backyard and he buries that talent. And he says, I will do this so that at least he can have his money back when he comes returns. And so, of course, the master comes home and he calls the servants to him. And the one with the five brings him 10 talents. And the one with the two brings him 4 talents. And the one with the one, after digging it up, hands him his single talent and says, here, I was afraid that if I lost this, you would beat me. I want to read what the parable says that the master responded with. He said, take the money away from that fellow and give it to the one who made the greatest sum. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Now that sounds pretty hard to our ears, does it not? But that response is simply a demonstration of the consequences of the law of attraction and of the universe saying yes. You see, the master represents the universe, and the slaves are the vibrational energy that we hold as our basic beliefs about ourselves and how the world works. And the two slaves who actively invested brought more prosperity into their possession. They are the beliefs that vibrate at the level of creating more. And the universe responds by saying, yes. So let's make this a game. Every time I say the universe responds by, you get to say yes. So let's try this. The universe responded by saying,
yes.
All right. The slave that ignored the demand to prosper and buried what he was given not only did not create more, but what he had was taken because the universe was responding with a
yes
to the vibration of lack and fear. The universe is designed to respond to our energy, our vibration. Our thoughts, powered by our feelings, are always responded to with a
yes.
So my own experience, you're doing really good. My own experience testifies to how creating in this world responds to our vibration, whether it's conscious or not. So, much of my life revolved around a prescribed set of beliefs that came from my family of origin and was then supported by the world. So I grew up as a Heartland boy. So it is not unusual that I expected, one, life was to be hard work, and two, that I should expect to work constantly as a part of my life. So I was raised with that belief, and the belief that I needed to earn the daily bread in order to support myself and my family, and that was my experience for years and years. Now, don't get me wrong, the work I did was not unpleasant, and I even had the satisfaction of a job well done. And at the same time, I experienced that hand-to-mouth existence of ongoing work without a stop in order to keep things going. And it wasn't until my children were almost grown and I was in counseling that I was invited to change my paradigm. I was invited to change from the view of life being hard work to open to the possibility that life might be happy. Oh, really? Now, that's not to say that I had never experienced happiness. I mean, I'd been a father and a husband and a son, and even in work, I experienced happiness. But I did not live with that as an expectation about how life would be. It was not until I made that fundamental change in my thinking and changed the belief of hard work into a life of happiness that I started to see a change in my experience. You see, the process that our creative mind uses is simple, but it's all-inclusive. Since everything is energy in vibration, and the universe is always saying
yes.
The universe is always saying yes to our constant vibration. What we focus on with thought and feeling working together becomes our belief. And our belief, in turn, becomes the vibration which is answered by the universe with a
yes.
You see, the way it was originally designed was that we were to listen to our inner spiritual guidance and use that inner reality to create our life in this outer world. But we human beings have it backwards. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote about mankind's three levels of consciousness. Now, we take these ideas somewhat for granted today, but when Charles and Myrtle were teaching them, the field of psychology was in its infancy, and this was new ground for most people. So, the tip of our consciousness is the conscious mind, where we interact with the external world in a deliberate and very conscious way. But behind or underneath that conscious mind is our subconscious, which Charles Fillmore called the storehouse mind. This is where all the memories and where the automatic responses of our behavior are kept. And beneath that subconscious is the superconscious, that divine aspect of ourselves. And because the universe is designed to respond to us, our vibrational energy, the process was to have been that we would draw ideas from that super consciousness deep within up, and that would set the vibrational level in the subconscious, where it would become our automatic pilot, if you will. And that would be the vibration that the universe would respond to with a
yes.
For our conscious mind then to see and perceive, look at all this abundance and good flowing into my life. So that's how it was supposed to be. But we human beings forgot our divine connection. And that caused us to reverse the process. So instead of drawing up that divine idea from deep within us, our consciousness looks out into the world and it perceives brokenness and problems and lack and all sorts of stuff. And that sinks into our unconscious, our subconscious, and that sets the vibrational rate, and the universe responds very happily with
yes. Yeah,
and gives us a whole lot more of that. So it's up to us to break that cycle for ourselves and for the world. And the process is simple. But it's not easy. Because it flies in the face of everything that we are taught about how the world works. So the first step, the very first step, is to turn within and make that reconnection to the divinity that is within us. Because that connection is what will power everything else. And as my personal spiritual work says, you don't have to do that all yourself. All you have to do is be willing. to turn within and be willing to be open to that inner spirit of truth. So there are three parts on how we take this process forward. Three more steps of this creative process, and they are asking, answering, and allowing. Now, we're only responsible for two of those steps. One of those steps we don't have anything to do with. So we ask. We ask for what we want. You see, our life experience identifies what we like and what we don't like. And if we focus on what we don't like, don't want, the universe hears that. Even if we're saying, no, I don't want that, the universe hears that as the request because that's our vibrational state. And the universe says, yes, very good. And if we, in turn, very gently release that negativity, if we release that and say, with thought and feeling in harmony, that condition has no power over my life. Not that it does not exist, not that it might not be currently present, but it has no power over my life. And then affirm the highest spiritual truth that we can believe for ourselves. That we can believe. If my bank account is minimal, I might not be able to believe that there's $1 million in it. But I might be able to believe that $500 might show up. But at whatever level we can believe, we hold that truth for ourselves and say this or something more. And the universe hears that new vibrational pattern and says, yes. Yes. The second step is not ours. It's the answering part. And that's where the universe very happily says, oh, yes! The third step is to allow it. To allow it into our life. And this is maybe a little bit harder to do simply because we are such creatures of habit that we oftentimes fall back into old patterns of thought and belief. What the allowing simply is to continue in that new vibrational state, holding that highest truth that we can for ourselves and saying, yes, this or something better is part of my life, is happening right now, and be in that expectation, that mode of receiving. We are to remain in vibrational harmony with the answer that we want by believing the highest good that we can imagine. This allowing happens in our subconscious if we can truly believe. The universe is always saying yes, yes to us. So what we are invited to do today is to change how we are creating with our minds. As we change our vibration from the perspective and the beliefs of the world to the perspective and beliefs of our inner connection with the divine, we change the answer the universe is giving us. Namaste.